on. What is today? The 11th September 11th. Of October.
October
11th. So we'll do a roll call. I'm Michael Ryu, committee chair.
Lisa Avery, alternate.
Alan Cobb, member.
Thomas Follett, member.
Pete Dunphy, member.
Leanne Bennett, alternate.
Excellent. So we have quorum. All right. Agenda additions, anything to add?
I have not heard from anybody that they have anything to add to the agenda.
Okay. Anyone else? No. All right. Public comment. We have no public comment. We'll move on from that one. And then on to our agenda.
D1 was meant to say minutes.
Yeah, okay.
Which my report is.
So yes, we do have the minutes for August and for September. I will take a motion to approve.
I don't, it's up to you guys, but I don't think you've had enough time to have them.
Okay.
To read them. I think it's fair to give 24 hours for everybody to read.
Okay. Then we can put these off till the next meeting.
I got them for you today so that you could have them. You know what we did in the last 2 months,
mm-hmm.
But you can decide to adopt them, read through them, and see if there are any changes you want to make or need to make, mm-hmm. And then can be approved.
Then we'll go ahead and push these out to the next meeting, the November meeting, for approval. Okay, and our International Bike and Walk to School Day.
Okay, so I'm here to report, you guys. Are somewhat aware that we decided last time to. Are you looking for something, Pete?
Just a pen. Oh, we're good. All right.
Here you go.
Oh, thank you.
So where we left it is that we had decided to have a booth at each school to welcome the kids when they came in, if they biked and walked, or even if they didn't, we were trying to decide, you know, give them stickers, something like that, encourage them to bike and walk in advance. So I went to a couple schools. I talked to two principals. I talked to the principal of Sam Case and the principal of Yaquina View. They were wonderful, and mostly I wanted to meet them, to talk to them about bike. Walk and roll, but I wanted to talk to them about safe routes to schools. And they were supportive, but as you can imagine, schools are just slammed, and they don't need any extra work. So that was kind of the feeling I got, that, yeah, it would be great to do that sometime in the future, safe routes to school I'm talking about. But they're not. It'll have to be activated by an outside source, maybe a parent, something like that. So it was nice. I now know them, and I know they're supportive of this, and so that progress was made. Also, I talked on the phone to the principal of Newport High School, and she's very supportive too, and so I met a few people, and I think progress was made in that direction. What we decided to do was basically just provide. Oh, loud! I don't like hearing that. Provide this to all the kids, to all the parents, just an announcement in English and Spanish that the school was going to be, you know, encouraging it. So I sent these in email form to the two schools, and I don't know what they did with it. So it's a bit of a disappointment that we couldn't really get anything going with this, but I think lesson learned was one principal said, we need to make it so it's equitable, that we, some kids, their parents drive them to school because, especially with Sam Case, families, low-income families live on the west side of 101, and the parents drive them because they don't feel it's safe for them to cross 101. And so that, you know, shouldn't we be rewarding all the, why should we just reward the kids who ride or walk to school because they can? And the other part was to put everything we do in two languages, in English and Spanish. That's my lesson learned. Yeah, do you guys have any thoughts on that? Next year?
Was there any reaching out to the middle school?
Yeah, I know you're middle school, and it kind of, I don't think the principal, I don't recall if I actually did reach out to him.
Because it's true. I mean, there's a lot of things going on at the schools, of course, but that would have been an easy thing to kind of push out, I would think.
Yeah. I'm not certain. I thought I emailed all of the principals, and then I got responses from some of them. And so that's where that's at. Any ideas for next year for the middle school, since you're middle school staff?
I think the earlier the better. Put it on their calendar earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Probably if he did not get back with you, he's got a whole slew of things that he's dealing with right now. And so that's probably pretty low on his list of priorities. So earlier would be better. And if this is a day that we can project in the future what day that'll be, it'll be easier to get information out earlier.
In fact, there are probably about 6 per year of these days. There's some schools are celebrating Ruby, the little black girl who went to a white, first one to go to a white school, Ruby something day, etc. And yeah, I guess it's just a matter of how much we want to be involved in the schools. And frankly, I think it's nice to have some connection, but there's only so much we can do. That's not our main goal.
Right.
Your main goal is Bike Ped Advisory Committee. Any more thoughts on next year?
Well, you had mentioned that, you know, crossing 101 is a huge mitigating factor. Is there, I don't know how, like, crossing guards work, like, you know, even if it was just on those special days, mm-hmm. like getting volunteer crossing guards or something. If mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know, that's something that,
The bike bus idea was great because then you have the whole group mm-hmm. going as a group, which would be.
Yeah, maybe a comment. Well, if we have the bike bus, then so you guys know what a bike bus is? Yeah. So then the adults in the bike bus can be the crossing guards, and then we continue on. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty good idea.
And my other idea is there's a high school, middle school and high school mountain bike racing team called the Newport Composite Team. Maybe we could find the kid to be an ambassador at their school or something like that.
Newport so. Composite Team?
Yeah, it's the National Interscholastic Cycling Association, and they race all over the state. And I know all the coaches and parents. And next year we can approach somebody.
That reminds me, Raina, I think is the principal's name of Newport High School. That's great. And she mentioned the leadership class, and she gave me the name of the instructor. And sorry, I had so much to do this month that I didn't reach out to him. But he said, speaking about kids' leadership in the high school, that definitely the leadership classes are such that the lower level do community work, that's freshmen and sophomores, and then the juniors and seniors are president, vice president, et cetera, senior, whatever it's called, of the school. So that might be a good way to connect with the kids at those upper grades rather than the parents.
Yeah, I think if we maybe get it out to the schools in the spring, looking for a fall event like this October one, mm-hmm. but get it on the agenda early, like in February, March timeframe, you know, and then let them be able to stew on it through the spring semester, into the summer, and through the summer break, rather than trying to reach out to everybody during the summer break or as everybody's coming back to school. Because mm-hmm. I think that's where we kind of went wrong when we got on it just a little bit late this year. If we can get the mountain bike team, we can pull together something along the lines of the old military formations where we have them act as kind of our crossing guards.
Oh.
So they rush to the
older
front.
Older kids.
They hold the intersection.
Yeah.
And then they catch, and as everybody else goes through, they just leapfrog us.
That's
what we do with any kind of road formation run in the military. You always have those guys. They're the good runners. You stick the vests on them, and you say, all right, hold the intersection until everybody's through. Go to the next one.
Like a marathon or something.
Yeah,
any type of race. Yeah.
We kind of did that when we had the event in 2018. We had the police involved to do that. So, and it's good to pull the police force into that as well.
And they're very willing to.
And it's great public relations. But
she's going to help us out.
If we can get the older kids involved and get them to, if we can get some volunteers from that to do that. So that maybe that's just something to keep as a thought.
And I would like it to be a Bike Ped member doing it next year, doing that coordinating. I'll let you know who to contact and who. But if one of you guys want to take it on, or a couple of you to then hand it off to the schools if you want to.
Right. Yeah.
And I think
maybe you can give us the introductions, because I think any one of us coming in kind of blind, like, you know, folks at the school. I don't know anybody at the schools. I don't have any kids, so if I'm mm-hmm. emailing people at the schools, I'm cold calling, and it's going to probably hit their spam filter.
It just doesn't work, as we found out.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people.
You know people too? Oh, good. Okay.
And it sounds like we're kind of getting to the vision being like, if there were a mountain bike team, like essentially those are the crossing guards, and then they're also kind of like the ones.
And you know, I don't want to volunteer them for that, but I would want
the big vision is like, you know, getting something that team like going, and then they kind of help that continue organically.
Right. Yeah, or maybe have whatever the police come out with their bicycles fashion as well.
Okay.
And Thomas said, let's promote it beforehand a whole lot more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we get it to the schools in February or March, like it's on their agenda, let them think about it. Maybe we can even, before the school year ends next spring, have some time to pull together like a bike fair, and then anticipatory to that or from that would be, hey, come October when everybody's back in school, we're gonna do this big event. And we can set up a bike bus kind of event where we start in one neighborhood and go to the next and pick up kids along the way. Just random thoughts in my head.
I'll see, but so definitely start in the spring. In spring. Okay, I'll just make sure and put it on like the February agenda and we'll go from there. Good ideas. I wanted to mention one thing. Oh, and next year we can do Martha's great idea of thin vests to give out.
Yeah.
Parks and Rec has already said that they can help provide some funds for the project. And, you know, if we're asking now, then we can figure out how many vests we want to have, costs, and that sort of thing. So somebody can do that. The police department also allocates funds usually for helmets, skateboard and bike helmets, but maybe the vests might be a better idea because they're so much cheaper, so many more kids.
Mm-hmm. And then we would get the kids that are walking instead of bicycling as well.
That's right, to support both kinds. Okay. So, the city of Newport is definitely on board when it comes to, I guess, me and the Parks and Rec and police. We'll just coordinate it better more next time. All right. So that was International Bike and Walking to School Day.
Okay. If there's no further thoughts on that, then we can move on to the work plan idea, just say Beth has put together.
Right.
Very interesting.
Well, this is, I know it's some might think that it's adding paperwork, and some might be right in saying that. But this is an idea that other groups have done. This is an example from 2017 that I pulled out of the old files, and of the bike ped group. And so basically they just had projects and activities. Now I also had one handout that was a grid over there. Did everybody get it? I didn't take my own handouts. Does anybody need one? You need one. Oh, where'd it go?
Well, we've got, I mean, the bike plan, or the work plan is on.
No, there was another one by the Oregon Bike Ped Advisory Committee, which is more, or maybe it was another group. It was month by month, just a grid of every month, a couple things to do that month. That's another way of doing it. So at this meeting, I'm just presenting to you the idea that maybe we want to do it. Most advisory committees do something like that. It's the last step of that goals is putting things on a timeline. So that's the advantage of it. I would like to see it more of the other one that I have somewhere that is month by month things to do. Then we could do something like February, put it on the calendar to address Bike Ped Day. Walk and roll day. So any thoughts on that?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
I love the idea.
I'm an old project manager, so.
Okay, good.
I'm like, I need a grid.
Yeah.
So do you need help with that?
Okay. If you're volunteering, yeah. We'll talk.
I am terrible at these kinds of things. I'm a chaos manager. I have a pile of things and like pick through and so.
Yeah, definitely the more like action items and being able to timeline Gantt chart, other buzzwords.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hate Gantt charts, but I like the monthly. So every month we can go, oh, we are supposed to do that this month.
I was even thinking that I'm like, how will we remind ourselves to start in spring for, you know, it's already, right. So yeah. I can, if you want to send me the guide that you know, the template that you like, I can start filling it in, see if you enjoy that.
Right. Okay. So why don't, if you don't mind, I'll give you that. And you have the goals and objectives. And I can help you to put them on a timeline.
Okay.
If you need help. Otherwise, you probably can just do it yourself.
Okay.
I'll just help you in any way I can. Anybody else, if you have input? And so I guess just present it at the next meeting.
Okay.
Give it to me before so I can put it on the agenda packet. And then it'll be open for discussion next time. Approved or?
Yeah, and whatever works for everyone. So I'm not picky about how we do it, but I do, that's the way I think. So I'm more than happy to help with it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is so wonderful having new blood. Okay, so that's what I wanted to bring up on that, Michael.
Yeah. So that sounds like we have a plan of action for that. Okay. Cool. Like I said, I'm glad somebody's taken on themselves to organize this because I don't do organizing. It breaks us and works out.
You're good with what you do.
Right.
Would the thought be like to essentially have that as a part of the agenda packet to show progress and that sort of thing changes?
In fact, there's another group, the Parks and Rec group, they include their goals and objectives on every agenda, the back of every agenda. There's nothing that says we can't include our goals and objective and the work plan on every agenda.
I recommend we do that.
Okay.
I definitely recommend.
Figures the meeting that I wanted to attend, I totally forgot about anyway.
Yeah. Along those lines, if you don't mind, I wanted to personally apologize to Pete for not getting minutes online yet. All these past months, I know you wanted to look at them, and I think I commend that. And it's just a matter of, I have been working on it, but getting the information to the IT guy. And I will CC you that email when it goes out with all the PDFs of the minutes. And if you want, I'll CC everybody for the past minutes, just so you kind of have them if you want them. I'm seeing some nods, so what the heck? You don't have to read them all or even save them.
And it's always nice to go back and be able to reference some of the things, past discussions, things like that.
So. And what is the, I don't want to say deadline, but like when is it accepted? When should I expect the expectation? There we go. I just got married this weekend. I'm still just kind of like,
thank you.
What is the expectation for when the minutes will be available? For the most recent.
Well, those last couple, those are available now.
Right.
But for those past ones,
I'm sorry. I mean, like in the future, like.
Oh, minutes. Oh God. It's when I get to them. And okay. So obviously, it's used to be staff and administration would do it, and that was handed to me. Staffing shortages, and I.
This was Peggy used to do this, right?
Not Peggy, but Peggy. Gloria, and maybe okay, Peggy right. with her. Yeah. Gloria was her assistant. Yeah, and Gloria's gone, and for a while there, they were consulting it out, and then they. I don't know why, but they decided to just give it to me. Usually it's done within a couple weeks of the meeting. I'll shoot for that.
Whatever it is, because you're talking about also like including people on an email. It's just, you know, whenever it's posted to the website, if there is even just like an auto notification or anything like that, but it sounds like.
We don't do auto notifications. I wonder how we could do that. I'll talk to IT about that. Whenever I get the minutes. Well, why don't I just? Whenever I get the minutes out and I give them to IT for posting, I will send you guys an email with the minutes.
And then in general, like
probably been doing that up until when you started.
Well, and then also just like, I mean, I think the assumption is we approved the minutes from the previous meeting. Mm. But I mean, if right now there's no time for that. I mean, is it? Then we would just do it next. Like how we're going to do now, we're going to do it next month.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's not optimum, but it's legal. So to speak, to approve them when everybody's read them and has chance, and then they can approve them. Because I didn't give you guys enough chance to look at them, including the people not here, we're going to wait till next time. In general, though, the minutes are included in the agenda, and the agenda is always posted by Friday at 5 p.m. before the meeting. So in general, at least by then, you should be looking in your email over the weekend if you want to read the agenda and prepare for the meeting. That's the timeline.
Okay, that's good to know. That's something that...
when things are working, that's how it goes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I guess we'll call that committee comments.
I guess, yeah.
Is there anything else to add to this, though?
Okay. Did I not put my little report? Okay, I got a few things. So, park map. I've been working with Parks and Rec. I was given this mock-up of the Parks and Rec new map, which I can send around. This is what Mike Cavanaugh was talking about at the August meeting. and I had notes such as try and coordinate the style a little more with the bike ped map and colors if you can. And I have a few other notes that I, a list of things that I sent to Nancy Steinberg, Parks and Rec Advisory Committee Chairperson, and Mike. So that's happening. Another thing, and you can look at it if you're curious. And while we're on the subject, if anybody wants to pass out more of these, I have some more at my desk after the meeting. Let's see, so that's the park map. I don't know when that's going to be published or anything about that. In January 10th, something we can put on the agenda, Ryan Hashigan is going to be visiting our January 10 meeting. He has other things, so that's the next one he can attend. If you recall from previous meetings, he is kind of a, you might call him a bike ped advocate. He has a company of his own in downtown Portland called Ice Trikes. It's tricycles that sell those, that have the big ice chests on them, so you can sell ice cream and stuff. But he has been working with Portland, in Portland, with other people to really promote many things in Portland. One of them is, one of the first things was a closed street. It's permanently closed. I want to talk him to talk about that because it's become a real vital part of that town, of that part of town, and the shopkeepers were, no, you can't close our street, and now they love it. Mm-hmm. and I walked it, and it's, you know, it's just nice. And then it's adjacent to the big NATO Parkway, which has shown, has a lot of improvements, and that was done with this group and other groups. And Portland in general just has a lot of good activism going on, and I get a lot of information from them. I recommend that you Google his name, Ryan Hashigan, and I think it's Bike Portland. There are many groups that do have on their website ideas that we could use in Newport, et cetera. So I'm looking forward to having him and picking his brain about how he went around about converting Portland from what it was, which is much like how we are now.
Bike Portland is like a news website aggregator of all things bike.
Oh, Bike Portland is the aggregator. Okay.
Yeah. Jonathan Mouse runs it.
Jonathan Mouse is
M-A-U-S,
a writer.
Yeah, he's the writer and editor for the blog, and he collates all these stories about bicycling incidents and events and happenings within the Portland area. He's got guest writers and stuff like that. It's a very comprehensive website.
Okay, so
a lot
you can
of good
spend
information on there.
Hours and hours on that website.
Hours and hours and hours. Many hours,
Which is a good lead-in to OBPAC because I'm on the Oregon Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee now, and we had our meeting up in Portland in person. And in fact, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but OBPAC, overall feeling of that meeting was OBPAC was saying, we don't feel that we're being heard. We are the afterthought. Bike and ped is the afterthought. We feel that so many agencies and the industry, the traditional freight and driver industries have much more say in ODOT and then in ODOT decisions, and then they ask bike ped after it's done. And so that was very interesting because there's this mobility advisory committee which has a lot more power. It's an advisory committee just like we are, but mobility means getting things from one place to another. And getting trucks and cars from one place to another as fast as possible. And the MAC, the Mobility Advisory Committee, we, OBPAC, our chairperson, wrote a letter to ODOT about MAC, basically saying that. And Jonathan Mouse, he wrote an article about that.
I was just reading about this whole conflict going on.
Yeah, so our advice, she talked to Jonathan Mouse and gave it a little more amplification, the letter that she wrote. So it's pretty cool. I think, I'm wondering if ODOT hears, but it's a big ship to turn around. And in my lifetime, I have seen ODOT change a whole lot. So, I mean, I've been in Oregon since 88, and I think things are good and improving, but still, I think those industries are way too strong and way too represented in Oregon. So we kind of, as getting back to us, BikePed, I think when I started, we were kind of considered, I don't know, see what you guys think, kind of complainers after the fact kind of situation. So my thought was, let's get to know all the other groups and stuff to make our voices heard a little better. So I'm hoping that we're working towards that with this, you know, in a positive way, not as complainers who say, why not this, why not that? Anyway, that's my report on the Portland OPPAC meeting and Ryan and the park map. So that's about all I had to say. It's happened this month.
So I wanted to bring up, I guess, Minda and her efforts with the Vision 2040 committee.
Yes.
So you've got a whole handout here of things that are strategies that apply to BikePed and how projects can be prioritized and how we can advocate for general BikePed policy, so on and so forth.
Your mic on?
Is it on? I don't know. I'm green.
Look at if it's red or green.
It is. Yeah, it's green.
Okay, good.
Okay.
You're just
quiet.
He
says he can hear me.
Good. Sorry.
Probably where it's located on me. There we go. So what can you tell us about that from what you talked with Minda as far as this list goes?
Okay, that list is from Pete.
Oh, this is your stuff?
Yeah, that's
okay,
correct.
Okay, then I'll pass the ball to you. What can you tell us about this?
So this, obviously at the very top, there are a couple of bullets of just considerations. But this is my run-through of the Newport Vision 2040, and all of the strategies, is that what these are? Yes, yeah, strategies, I believe, and how and that can be applied to BikePed in any way. And so I just, for the sake of, consistency and stuff, I put the code, the tier, the name, and then whether it was a lead partner or support. That is what this list is applying our mission or goals and everything to that larger document. And then like a kind of like what I was saying at the last meeting is just taking that same intent to any larger document, whether it be the TSP or anything that is a citywide thing, and just how we're able to apply or isolate or call out or whatever word we want to say, but to say, oh, this is a list of all our stuff as it applies to that larger document. In terms of actionable, obviously the Vision 2040. I'm gonna just stop there. Vision 2040 is just a vision. It's not an actionable authorizing document or anything like that. But
a guiding vision.
It is a guide. Yeah. So to show, I think, this list also shows just how intertwined active transportation is, because it's a long list. I mean, just when you just read just the title, you can pretty much surmise from the title, and then a couple of them, when you read the little blurb with it, helps solidify that or paint that picture. So, I don't really have anything other than that to say, and just, you know, that it, that
it's this, a long list.
It's a, yes, it's a long list, and also, like I said, the just the idea of looking at any of these citywide documents and applying our
goals and objectives.
I think this is really cool. Yeah. Really cool.
Yeah, I think this is really good work that you did. It just points out to us, and we need to remind the community sometimes, or the deciders, the city council, not that they don't know already, but that we are, bike ped goals are intermeshed with the city goals. Yeah. And I think it was, you mentioned it last meeting, that it's like there's a preponderance of bike ped goals in Vision 2040.
Yeah.
So this is just
a lot of that went into the feedback process for TSP as well.
Right.
What kinds of things we're going to get into the TSP and get prioritized, how. A lot of that came from the stuff in Vision 2040. So it's nice to have, and thank you for the work on this, because it's nice to have a roadmap to be able to follow this, to kind of dive in, because it's real easy to get lost in that document. It's real easy.
Absolutely. And just like, you know, like my neighbor works for Fish and Wildlife. You know, she's a biologist, and, you know, the 5,000 pages of stuff that goes into a 30-page, you know, report, right? Vision 2040, I'm not knowing how that process worked, but I could imagine the pyramid of work and documents and stuff. And then when that gets put out, those supporting actions can be easily forgotten, because we have that end product. And so if nothing else, it's reverse engineering it for specifically us, but I don't know, nothing formal, but at least internally, it's like we have our vision, or our, I don't want to overuse vision.
And objectives.
We have, exactly, and that's the lens. That's what I was going to say. We have the lens of any of the things, and the lens being our goals and objectives to Vision 2040, TSP, or any other large document. And that way we can, you know, help advise, advocate, what have you, for those things.
Yeah, I think it's a real good backdrop, especially as we're getting new city councilors and stuff who aren't familiar with bike ped group and stuff, that it gives us legitimacy. And what I'm learning is, I'm thinking just from the OBPAC, the best way to get us heard, for want of a better phrase, is to write letters. And I think BikePed needs to be not shy about writing letters. Anything that we want the city council to know, so maybe we need to. But this is great to use an example for our letter. See?
Yes.
In A10, it says this.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And we want this.
Yeah, and that's the other part that I was kind of forgetting, like, why I even is to have this as a list when we're trying to, writing a letter is a great example. It's like whatever thing, and you know, we could even apply it to, you know, bike and walk to school day. And it's just, you go right down the list. Well, you know, this supports, indirectly at least, A11, which is bicycle and pedestrian safety and amenities. Or, what's the other one? Youth involvement, F9, community, you know, just mm-hmm. just to be able to directly apply those things. And I that was the thing I learned from the federal government, like being in the federal, a lot of things can't be implied, right? Mm-hmm. Because it is like a public situation. So to be able to just go mm-hmm. and just list off a bunch of stuff, then people kind of have to pay attention.
Right. Yeah. So. In fact, when I was applying for this job, I got it right at the beginning of COVID. And I looked at all the documents on the city website, and Vision 2040 is like, oh, okay, I can align with that. You know, there's some cities that don't have these kinds of goals. And I was just like, I'm too old to deal with a city like that where I'm going to be fighting people. This basically says that this is a community that wants these great improvements.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of feedback into the vision for 2040.
A lot of communities aren't this way.
A lot of community feedback and just the really well set up website for putting in feedback. You know, just clicking through what are your priorities. And it's a purely individual effort for everybody who went to that website. But putting that all together and collating it, the city did a tremendous amount of work in doing it. And it is very clear from reading it that the community, at least at that time, and I doubt that that has changed even a whit, except maybe to strengthen, is very focused on getting active transportation improved in this city. So it's just a matter of using this kind of thing to hold city council to their word, which when they sign that and they put this together, that's them saying, okay, we acknowledge this feedback. We're going to work toward these goals. And as Beth is saying, it was election season. We may have new city councilors coming in. We had new city councilors coming in last time as this was still being developed and finalized and everything. So.
That's making me, I can't verbalize exactly what made me think of it, but basically like for like the TSP, is it already, because I'll admit I haven't like totally read through it, but basically like for us to kind of like create or, you know, list what our priorities of the TSP are. Does that make
the
sense?
The TSP kind of is prioritized.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really the point of
part of the process is we give our input on those projects.
Okay. It's similar to the way you got your tier one, tier two stuff coming in on the Vision 2040. The tier one stuff's like the really big high importance.
Okay.
Tier two TSP works pretty much the same kind of way. So you have ones that are higher priority, ones that are shovel ready in terms of like there's a source of funding identified, you know, not necessarily gotten, but this is where we can go for money for this. These ones maybe we don't know where we can come up with the money for, but they're still high priority or they're low priority, whatever, however it works out.
Well, I guess what I mean is, document. Do we have like a list? Do we have a priority list just like based on just bike ped? Because the TSP, right? I mean, it is the full infrastructure.
We've never pulled anything out specifically for bike ped out of the TSP. Not
that's the whole point of integrating. There was a 2008 bike ped plan, and that was incorporated into this TSP. It used to be, you know.
They pulled the old TSP, they pulled that bike ped plan, they pulled some development district plans, they pulled the Vision 2040 together stuff, more community feedback, all to build. So we've never pulled anything out of the TSP to say that, you know, this is kind of a distillation of our goals, but we're laced through the whole thing. So we're everywhere in it.
Sure, yeah.
So. Good questions.
Yeah.
Also, the park system master plan has a lot of overlap with the transportation side of things. And they had a lot of top-tier projects. The question is, like, where's the brick wall?
ODOT.
I guess it's
always the brick wall. The two highways running through town, ODOT's always our brick wall, it seems like.
That's so true.
But yeah, just in the few years that I've been doing this committee, I've seen ODOT's approach change. And that's
really?
That's just since late 2018. There's, you know, when Jenna Berman came in for the district, she's very bike-ped oriented.
She's the active transportation liaison for our district. There are about five or six districts in Oregon.
Yeah, she covers the whole North Coast and over into the Valley. I don't know her exact, all of her terrain, but it's like basically the northwest corner of Oregon.
Except Portland.
And she's very dedicated to the idea like of improving the Oregon Coast bike route, doing something about this damn bridge. Basically, a lot of what she focuses on ends up converging right here. I'm not saying we're her most important thing, but it has changed the way we interface with ODOT and how ODOT works as well. So I'm glad to see, going back to what you talked about with the Mobility Advisory Committee, and I'm glad to see that one coming up to a head, because before I read Jonathan Mauser's report on it, I had no idea this was, and then I read down the rabbit hole looking at other articles, like, how did this even come to be? And it's like, that needs to change. So I'm glad ODPAC has a foot in the door now. to change the way that works.
Yeah, I think people are listening. I want to add, just because there's there's time this time, I want to add that OPAC members, volunteers like me, did not feel that the immediate OPAC people who we deal with, not Jenna, but Susan Pythman and other other agency liaisons to OPAC are doing a fantastic job with encouraging bike and ped projects. So we had no complaint, even though I'm new, they had no complaints about the direct, you know, group, the Safe Routes to School people, that all these programs that are encouraging bike and ped projects throughout Oregon. Community Pass is a real new one, where with off-road things connecting communities. These are new projects that were probably initiated by that portion of ODOT. We don't need to get too much into ODOT, because when does it stop?
Their culture is improving. It really is.
Yeah.
And I think that's down to community feedback.
Yeah. So. Anyway, I guess I, if you don't mind, I wanted to remind you that we need to ask each member if they, the liaison to other groups, like the library group, have they done anything, or do they have anything to report on?
Yeah,
any progress with other groups?
So I'm going to bring this one up here, because I'm about to send an email, well, not right now, but I'm going to send an email off. I just come across this article in the Washington Post. Headline: These cities turn parks into orchards where anyone can pick for free. And I'm reminded of this because in the August meeting with with our guests from Parks and Rec, Nancy Steinberg mentioned doing a community garden in one of the parks nearby around here. So I'm going to send her this.
A community orchard?
Well, she was going to talk about a community orchard kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to send her this article, but it also linked to something called sustainableamerica.org, an article called The Rise of Community Food Forests, which kind of ties in with that. And this is kind of, I'm putting this here because we're talking about joint works with different communities or committees. I've worked with Parks and Rec before. So I want to send those off, but I will send this out to you guys as well so you can read it. It's not really bike ped related directly, but tangential to our
You two are with
them,
the Parks and Rec, right? So
yeah,
working with,
and we'll see what,
with
see
that,
what they
so
have,
there's no
if
no
this
longer
helps
silo.
Them in any way. If
Pardon
they're talking
me?
About if this will help her and the Parks and Rec committee in any way in putting in their community orchard kind of project. Because I think it was really cool. And this whole thing started, I guess, the first city in the article they talk about is over in Germany. And basically the city took a park and turned it into a community garden and then just said, hey, come pick some vegetables, everyone. And it became a wild success. And it's part of a growing movement worldwide of doing this kind of thing.
At the risk of going all over the place, I have something to add to that, that I saw there at the OPAC meeting. Somebody presented their trip to Copenhagen, and it was a park where that was created so kids could ride their own bikes or walk and be a little town. It was just a park maybe twice the size of this room, of ramps and this and that. It even had these Wisher brushes so they could ride their bike through it and pretend like they're in a car wash. You know, it just was adorable and just a really great place for kids to learn bike safety as well. Mm-hmm. So it connects bike safety and parks and destination. And so that would be a wonderful vision for this town too.
Kind of in my mind, I'm envisioning that kind of almost like a little mini theme park / pump track for kids.
Yeah.
And Parks and Rec is talking about putting in a pump track.
Right.
So
for the younger brothers
that,
and sisters,
I love that
to bring
idea.
Their tricycles.
Yeah.
Kind of idea.
Give them
cute.
A safe place where they can build up some confidence and not have to worry about traffic and things
exactly.
like that. I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Everybody likes it except wherever it happens to be. Proposed to be cited.
Oh, of course.
Nobody likes it.
Not in my backyard.
Nobody wants kids playing in their neighborhood.
Because
they
noise.
Scream?
Kids make noise.
Criminals on bikes.
Little criminals.
Seriously, people are just like, nope, we don't want those punk teenagers.
Right. Is it, when they're over 10, they become like persona non grata. Yeah.
So we're actually building, it's not a pump track, it's a skills course out of Big Creek right now. It'll be open next spring.
And you know Thomas is with Newts.
Yeah.
Newport.
Trail Stewards.
Say it again?
Trail Stewards.
Trail Stewards, yeah. It's great.
So that's cool. I didn't hear about that before. So as far as that's my report with
from Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec tangential related. I haven't seen, I haven't heard anything from back from the library committee. I didn't attend their next meeting, so I don't know when that was. I did that. Well, they did let that one fall through the cracks. So.
And Lisa, you're with library too. Huh?
I am, but
no
I
worries.
Should put that on the project.
No worries. This is just a time in the to talk about things if
Martha
you want.
Martha was a 60 plus.
Who's a 60 plus?
Yeah.
Martha was 60 plus, yes. So we would like to have somebody step up and volunteer for 60 plus. And I don't have my list, but if you're not on the list, I'll bring the list to next meeting. And
I'm not assigned one, so I'll.
Assigned one?
I'll.
And Leanne, you're not assigned. Are you saying 60 plus would work for you? So you know what it involves is just reading their minutes.
Right.
Noticing if there's anything that might involve us and bringing it to us. And 60 plus is when I can think of in. I don't know the others, but I will send out an email so you guys can think about if you wanted to join any others. So Pete is 60 plus. Great. Thank you, Pete. Great. Is that it for committee comments?
I think so. Unless anybody has anything to add. It's a short meeting tonight.
Yeah, real short.
I do have an article about, I can't get to his website.
Who?
I can't remember his name.
Ryan Hashian?
Yeah. So I can't get through to his website, but I do have an article from PDX Monthly about his endeavor, his icicle to tricycles things.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, ice trikes?
Yeah, so I'll send that around so you guys can read about,
about some of the stuff that he's done. Forward info between now and January as well.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the Wi-Fi connection I'm on here, but I can't get his actual website to load right now. So.
Yeah, and I invite any Bike Ped member who wants to share information on anything that Portland's doing. Let's just focus on them for now, so that we can ask questions of Ryan in January.
And I'll send out, for those of you guys who have not seen the Bike Portland website, I'll send out that link as well. They do a lot of guest columns, so they have folks that are new to cycling writing columns and things that are like families and how to deal with kids. And it's there's a lot there. I'll send it out so you can read through it and get lost on it if you're really interested in a lot of the stuff. But he talks a lot about the ways in which activists are pushing the Portland City Government and ODOT to improve cycling in Portland, and how neighborhoods are getting involved and stuff like that. So I pull tidbits out of that all of the time, just reading through those. That was what got me the idea to mention Better NATO.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to have him down here to talk to us about.
I guess he Googled it, and then he emailed me because he saw that it had been in our minutes.
Yeah, so.
Oh, wow.
You know, that all came from me reading about the project and how it came to be on Bike Portland. So it's a great resource.
We're gonna learn a lot from other communities. We don't need to reinvent the wheel.
No.
To that, I did a search for best bike cities, but more specifically for small cities, and I think it was peopleforbikes.org is the one who did the, because they had large cities, medium,
uh-huh.
And it was really interesting. So for the top five small cities, Wausau, Wisconsin, Santa Monica, weird.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Carmel, Indiana, Norwalk, Connecticut, and Crested Butte, Colorado. So I went to each of those cities, and what I thought was really interesting is it wasn't consistent in terms of Wausau has a really great bike pack, BPAC. Santa Monica, nothing. No, they have no advisory committee at all. Nor does Carmel, Indiana, but then Norwalk, Connecticut has a really good committee. They even have a Google map specifically for bike racks that's managed by the committee. Thought that was interesting. And then Crested Butte, no committee. So it's like, it's interesting the different, you know, I actually expected to have them all have at least committees and varying levels of involvement, but just the fact that some of them didn't, you know, obviously the rating for the actual list is not scientific either, but still, to see that I thought was really interesting. So,
yeah, different cities have either have a strong committee or none at all, but if they don't, they have activists. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're not, BikePed is not supposed to be activists. You are advisors to city council. You're not stirring up stuff, I guess, in the community.
Not as a committee.
Right. Huh. However, I would love if there were an activism group in this town to really stir
Newt's
it up.
Newt's is willing to do that. We just need engagement.
Who's willing to do that?
Newt's.
Oh,
well, I mean, they're doing it for the trails already.
Yeah, but it's general enough. It's trails. I mean,
yeah. Well, start having meetings and getting incorporated in our, you know, as an organization, a nonprofit organization.
We are.
Well.
What in shape do you have to be to work on a trail?
Pardon me?
How in shape do you have to be to work on a trail? I've almost volunteered.
So not at all.
Not at all. Okay.
You become in shape.
I know. That's true.
We also need people to run and get the pizza. And
oh, there you go. I can do
those kind of things.
Interns.
I mean, we have, aside from news, and I know the bike shop does a few things with their stuff. You're right. There's not a big. It doesn't seem. And maybe I'm out of touch with it, but it doesn't seem like there's a big activist community within Newport. Again, outside of Newt's,
yeah,
that is trying to really improve it. So, I mean, even though we're not supposed to be in that role, we kind of end up falling in that role. But we
can
as individuals, for certainly.
You can be in both groups.
I'd really like to see more, if we can get more involvement from outside pressure in terms of people who like to ride the Oregon Coast bike mm-hmm. route or walk the Oregon Coast
right.
trail, you know, helping, getting feedback from them to bring back to the city to say, look, these are people that are coming through our town, and these are the bottlenecks they're hitting. And they bring money when they come through. They're coming through slow. So if you're walking, bicycling, if you're driving through, you may blink and miss Newport.
Yeah, they're staying.
We're not like Lincoln City where we're like 100 miles long and 3 feet deep. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go through Newport pretty quick in a car.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're walking through it on the trail, you're bicycling through on you're going to stop in the stores. You're going to shop. You're going to camp. So I think it's a good, I don't know how to do that, though, to get that feedback from those people to us so we can get it to the committee. That's the obstacle that I can't seem to wrap my head around getting past. So maybe that involves Newt's and the bike shop.
Yeah, the bike shop, I mean, maybe
because they see
something as simple as a kiosk with a survey or something that's really easy, and you know, they're all coming in there for parts or whatever.
Yeah.
Or an online thing. I mean, like the Pacific Crest Trail has a real good online presence for the people who do it.
Yeah.
Or maybe just they email each other, but they are connected. I have a friend who did it 10 years ago, and she's still connected with her friends there. So somehow link into those people.
And I'm wondering if we
can.
I don't know if they would do it, but if we can't get something at like the ranger station at the park, South Beach, you know, where people are bicycling in. And
yeah, because they're
going to go to the hiker biker sites. Maybe if they have, I'll reach out to them, see if we can get them to put up some kind of feedback mechanism where these folks that are coming in using hiker biker and they're staying overnight, that they can give us information to say, you know, this is what my journey to and through Newport was like, and here's where I think things could be improved.
Leverage.
So that would be an option too, I think.
Yep. Your voice is heard a little more.
Yeah. I mean, it's, like I said, if they're, money talks. Tourist spring money.
Right.
So.
For me, the biggest thing is just the safety. Like, I was an active bike commuter in Seattle, and I moved here and did it for about a week.
I'm the same. I biked everywhere in Denver, and then here is a little daunting.
And I'm not shy about riding
like
a maniac, but it's terrifying.
Right.
And so how do we address that? And then I see things like new housing developments, 400 units. They put in a little stretch of sidewalk. It's not connected to anything. And I see people in wheelchairs. I see families pushing strollers on a street with no, even a fog line, or on the 101, this much fog line. It's just terrible. Nothing's happened yet, but that's the worst.
You're right.
That's not part of the system development charge to connect new neighborhoods.
Right.
That reminds me. Do we know anything further about the Lighthouse to Lighthouse trail application? Well,
there's a sidewalk on the east side that's even higher on the...
Are you talking about on the east side of 101, north of Ocean View Drive?
Yeah.
No, we haven't heard back about getting that grant money yet.
Okay.
On the east side?
Yeah, they're talking about putting a sidewalk on the east side to go from around 25th, where it currently ends, up to around 36th.
Yeah, I thought that was funded.
Nope. I think this is part of the FLAP grant, Federal Lands Access Program grant, that we have not received yet.
Okay. What about, there was talk, and correct me if I'm wrong, there was talk about actually putting in a grant application to do the Lighthouse to Lighthouse on the west side from Ernest Bloch to Ocean View. Has anything...
Nothing separate for that. Nothing has been applied for separate from that, but I think that is included in the FLAP grant application.
Okay. And that's supposed to all tie in with all the stuff that's going on at the Lighthouse Drive out to Yellowna.
Yep, all that. East side of 101, I don't know anything about.
Okay.
If anything's been planned, I don't think so. I think the idea is to direct everybody in a multi-use path on the west side.
It's staggered because there's a gap between 36th and where Ocean View comes out. So right. they're completely disconnected projects. That sidewalk thing, I thought it was in the works as far as I knew.
That's what I thought too.
Okay.
Like 2 years ago it was.
I can check.
Yeah.
That's all I can do is.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, sidewalk north of Ocean View on the west.
No.
From south of Ocean View on the east side.
From the Safeway, Ace Hardware to 31st.
Is it 31st?
Oh.
It's somewhere in that area.
Interesting.
Northward from Safeway.
On the east side. Safeway. It's basically going to extend that sidewalk from where it ends at the old Sizzler restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's just like, boom, and you're out on 101. So mm-hmm. there was that plan to put sidewalk all the way up.
And that's where I'm seeing pedestrians coming from those new neighborhoods.
It was going to tie to those new developments. It was going to tie into the senior
especially
developments.
Especially the guy in the wheelchair.
There.
It's like, You know, the fog line's this wide.
Oh, my goodness, right.
And
I don't know. Okay.
Are, like, wheelchairs included in our purview?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Active transportation.
And that
okay,
means
perfect.
We can scooters. Pull ADA into any of this stuff.
Got it. Okay.
So if it becomes a disability rights issue, then we've got a much bigger toolbox to hammer people with.
That's where my head was at, too.
And as far as I'm concerned, transit, too. Because people walk.
You have to walk to it, yeah.
And they have to wait.
Yeah.
So sidewalk on east side north of Safeway area.
And for me, that's the biggest
I don't think it,
danger.
That would be an ODOT project, and I don't think
that also
it.
Because it's also a lane merge, and people are playing chicken with each other.
Yeah.
Right.
Right to the end of it, and driving on that fog line.
Oh, my gosh.
And then when they clean up the homeless camp down there, they put all that stuff out on the side of the road.
Yeah, I mean, that fence should be part of that sidewalk project.
Yeah, they were talking about cantilevering part of that over, I think, off the side somehow, or
because there's a drop.
They were talking about the doing some improvements to that tunnel that goes under 101 because the sidewalk's going to go over the top of that, and all kinds of stuff that was involved with it. But like you, I thought that was not shovel ready, but
let's invite Derek back again. We can
yeah, pick his brain. But I don't think I haven't heard anything about that. And
I'll have to dig through my.
Is it an ODOT? Maybe I'm going to say ODOT question mark because it might just be an ODOT project. But you guys think it's in the works? Something
as we told as far you as I knew, it was works? It was ready to go. It's just like there were delays because of COVID. And
I talked to Olaf about it at length.
Who's Olaf?
He was an engineer.
ODOT engineer?
No, city.
Oh.
That followed Tim to private practice, but he
works
plugged
with
into all these projects, and like that stair that's right across the street there down
the one by the West Western.
He was the engineer on that, and yeah, I thought it was in work, and I'm surprised that I haven't seen anything.
I will find out.
Yeah, it's the first step in a link to those communities that are north of 25th Street that
probably need to
there's
buy.
No active transportation link that works.
Right.
Rapid flashing beacon on.
There is going to be a rapid flashing beacon connecting Agate Beach neighborhood to the new apartments on 101. That's
at 31st.
That's a no-brainer. I guess it's 31st, where the new apartments are.
Yeah, they're up above that.
They're up 31st.
Yep.
So that's happening. And there's going to be one on 20.
Okay.
Yeah, about 3 or 4 blocks in from the 101 intersection.
So Coos.
Around there. I want to say Eads. I don't
for
know.
For the school.
I think they were aiming for Eads from what I understand.
I don't know exactly which street. But it's going to happen. There should be two, but there's going to be only one for now. That's in the works.
One's better than none.
Yeah, that is nonstop traffic.
Yeah.
We're talking about putting in a crossing.
Yeah,
situation.
Rapid flashing beacon crossing. Yeah.
We're near where the veterinary hospital is.
Yes.
Yeah. Somewhere in that vicinity was my understanding and my memory of it was going to be in that.
I'll track that down. I still have my list of projects in the works to do work on after I got the minutes done. I was trying to, but.
Stop sleeping.
Everybody's got so much to do. Okay, if nobody else has anything, then call the meeting early.
Yeah.
So our next meeting date is, and we pulled the calendar to confirm.
Is that the 8th?
Yes, November 8th, what I have. Also Election Day. Everybody's ready to vote?
Oh, is it Election Day?
It is Election Day.
Okay, that'll be
ballots
done.
Should be hitting mailboxes soon. All right. So with that, I'll call a meeting at 6:41. Thanks,
as far as like being a voice or a citizens outrage committee, I'm perfectly happy to hold meetings and gather people to do this stuff in my nonprofit.
Awesome.
We just, we're fairly small and disorganized, but if we have people on board, we can do a lot more.
Yeah, everything starts small and gets organized.
Yeah, you start small. We're getting stuff done, at least with our main project.